the reason why he was shouting at us, he was still quite far away, but we were all like pooing ourselves. We were like, oh my goodness, we're gonna get like axed or something. This is the start of a horror film. Like, this is... Hello everybody, and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. Today, I'm going to be talking all about a night hike that I went on. So much happened. We got shouted at. We got lost. There was screaming. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Also, me and my friend have a new obsession. So I'm going to be talking about that as well. But anyway, before we start, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, RedPost. RedPost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. And something that I don't think I've talked about much on the pod about RedPost is... go and follow their Instagram, because I'm pretty sure every Wednesday or most Wednesdays they do something called Win It Wednesday. So if you're like me, you love a good giveaway, check out what their Win It Wednesday is this week or next week, because you never know, you could win a very cool prize. But anyway, thank you again to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast, and let's get into it. So yes, I went on a night hike the other day, which when you think about it, doing it in February, probably, well, in the UK or the Northern Hemisphere anyway, it's probably not the best time of year, because when we were doing it, the week before, actually, me and my dad, we were chatting about how good the fields were, like, for February. They were actually dry. We were thinking, you know what, how dry they are right now, you could probably roll them. We knew that, you know what, more rain's gonna come, there's no point rolling them yet, unless, you know, we didn't put the horses in those fields or those paddocks and just left it until the summer. But anyway, so we were talking about that, and then of course I feel like we jinxed it, because we have had so much rain lately. I feel like I'm such a, like, a proper British person just going on about the weather all the time. But anyway, the night hike, it was wet, it was rainy, and it was also dark. One of my favorite quotes that one of my friends said was, you know what, this night hike would be a bit easier if it was during the daytime. And we were like, mate, it wouldn't be a night hike then, it would be a day hike, or just a hike. So it was a charity night hike. The way it kind of worked, if I don't know, I feel like all night hikes are slightly different, but anyway, me and my friends all did it. And you know, this wasn't just a, you know, here we go, we're going for a walk, follow the signs. Oh no, it is not that easy. We were given a compass, an ordnance survey map, which is basically a map that has like plots on either side. We were given coordinates as well, so we had to make sure that we were going the right way by plotting the coordinates onto the map. And it's not like we could just do that right at the beginning, because we had to go to different checkpoints. I think there are about 6 different checkpoints, and at each checkpoint we were given new coordinates that we had to then plot in on the map. In the dark, we obviously had torches, luckily. What other things did we have? We were all given an Apple AirTag to walk around with us, so they could see where we were going, make sure that we weren't, you know, completely going off in the wrong direction. But also, you know, if there was an emergency, they could easily find us. What other things were we given? I think that was it, really. So off we went. We were actually the first team to go, so we were a girls team. So it was me and 3 other of my girlfriends, and then my boyfriend also did the night hike, but he was like, Ez, you can come. Well, actually, he didn't even say I could come along. He knew from the start that I would not want to come along with him, because him and 2 other boys are very, very competitive. They wanted to win this thing. So instead of a night hike, they did a night run. They ran the whole thing. Now, this was a difficult night hike. Like, it wasn't some like short little, you know, 45 minute walk. This was in the rain, in the mud. So it felt like I was walking through like a water treadmill, because it was so wet and squelchy. It was in the dark. And it also took, well, it took my team about 3 hours. Bearing in mind, we set off at around 8 o'clock. So by the time we got back, it was just before midnight. So it was a long old trek. It was past my bedtime. I'm one of those people, I like to get into bed in my pyjamas at about 8 o'clock, have an hour of chilling in bed if that's watching telly, reading my book, and then be asleep by 9. That sounds like a great evening. Sometimes at a push, I'll go for 9:30. But if it's past like 10 o'clock, that is way past my bedtime. You know, my sleep schedule's going out of clock. I mean, I am an early riser sometimes, most of the time. but yes, I am just one of those people that need a lot of sleep. You know what? That's just how I am. So, to be fair, I'm pretty sure women need a lot more sleep than men. So maybe that's my excuse, as I'm a girl. But anyway, not back to the night hike. So my boyfriend's team, they obviously won. He was like, if I don't win, I'm going to be so disappointed in myself. He's very competitive. They were half an hour quicker than the team that came second. So that is how quick they were. I think he did twist his ankle or hurt his ankle because he's been hobbling along the last week. So he did hurt himself. I did say to him, look, if you run, we're going to be like tortoise in the hare. Look, my team's strategy, take it nice and slow. Make sure we don't plot any of the coordinates wrong, because if you get lost, that's probably not very good. And that's going to just take you longer. And also, I thought, you know what, we're going to have some fun. We're going to walk at a speed where we can chat along, catch up with my friends. Nice old time. To be fair, I'd do it again. Maybe if it wasn't so long. But I didn't mind when it rained a little bit. And it wasn't even that cold. I got quite warm. I had one of my like really long Lemur coats on. And most of the time, I unzipped the top and then used the arms and kind of like tied a knot. So it looked like I was walking along with this weird like skirt thing on, because it was a really long coat. So my top half was nice and warm, and then my bottom half was also nice and warm. But anyway, so that was my go-to look. I always had ear warmers on, because I'm one of those people, whatever the weather, if it's like a little bit cold outside, my ears are very sensitive. I do have very little ears. That's one thing like random people will just like say to me. Like I remember at school, somebody would just like look at my ear and they'd be like, goodness, Esme, you have very small ears. Like I feel like my ears are just the same size as they were when I was a baby, and I just grew and my ears didn't. So anyway, that's a little random fact. If you're watching on YouTube, you can't see my ears because I do have my hair down. So there we go. Anyway, back to the night hike. So yeah, we were like slow and steady, making sure that we didn't get lost. We might have got lost. We also, like my boyfriend's team, I was like, you are going to trip in like a rabbit hole or a badger hole or some sort of hole, or you're going to hurt yourself in the mud and twist your ankle and hurt yourself. What did he do? He went and hurt himself, but he said it was worth it to win. So there we go. Anyway, so now on to the things in the night hike that didn't go so well. So before, basically, I think it was around the time we got to the first checkpoint, because my team was the first to leave. We were not the first to get back. A little spoiler alert there. So just before the first checkoff point, my boyfriend's team overtook us, ran on by. We were also walking through on this road, which kind of turned into a mini stream because there was so much water. So they just splashed us as they ran by, and we're like, thanks a lot. Anyway, got to the checkpoint. And the thing was, actually, in our defense, some of the reasons why our time was a little bit longer was because we kept catching up with other teams. And we got held at our checkpoints because they kind of wanted us, we kind of went out at 5-10 minute intervals, because if you're too close, then you're just going to follow the team ahead, aren't you? You're not going to be doing the coordinates and everything properly. So I used my A-level geography coordinate skills. To be fair, I think I learned that in GCSE geography, or even doing D of E. I was like, have any of you guys done D of E? And none of them had. So I was like, all right, I'll be the map reader. So I was kind of like the map reader. One of my friends was the gate person. We kind of like all had like different roles. One of my friends was like the motivator, and another one of my friends was the like carrying everything. So like we had a first aid kit with us. She was also wearing like the high vis to make sure that when we were on roads for a little bit, we weren't run over. Also, I haven't even said this yet, but a lot, you might be thinking, Esme, where were you walking then if you were doing a night hike? So we were actually walking on farmers' fields, but across footpaths. So I don't really know if footpaths are really a thing in different countries, but I'll explain it, because I remember explaining footpaths to a friend of mine that doesn't live in the UK, and they were like, what on earth? That is so weird. But basically, back in the day, before there were like cars and things, there were set aside paths on people's land so you could like get places, because there weren't really as many roads or things like that. There's actually a really cool footpath that goes from my village to another, like the next nearby village, and it kind of goes through this wooded bit, and that's basically where they would herd like pigs and sheep and things from one farm to another, or one village to another, especially if they were like taking them to market and stuff like that, which is quite cool. So there's a lot of history behind footpaths. So it's basically a path that anyone can walk across someone's land. So but sometimes with footpaths, the footpath isn't very well, how do I put this, signposted. You kind of know where you're going because there are little signposts. Where we are, there's like a little yellow or a little blue arrow that says like footpath, or I think footpaths are yellow, bridle paths are blue where I am. I'm pretty sure it might be different in different counties. But anyway, so we're following them. But sometimes you'll be walking along a little bit, especially if it's like along a hedge line, or sometimes a footpath that it will just be like across the middle of a field, which seems very weird. And when you're walking along, like it can be like, if you don't know, don't think you're going quite the wrong way, it does feel like you're trespassing sometimes. Luckily, the organizers of the night hike, it was started off at someone's farm, and obviously they know all the farmers nearby, they know everyone that lives nearby, so everyone's like land slash footpaths that we were walking across, they did ring them up being like, hey look, there's a night hike on this evening, if you see loads of people walking around in the dark, don't worry, they're not breaking into your farm, they're probably just a little bit lost, or they're doing the night hike. So there we go. So there was one farm that we walked past, and it was like walking in the middle of their farm. Like we had to like, there was like a little gate and everything we had to go through. It felt so weird because all the footpaths where I am, it's pretty much just through fields. There's one that's like through a farm, but it's like along their driveway, so it doesn't feel as weird. But this one, literally, like we're walking through this like middle of the stables, and I was like, goodness grief, I feel like someone's gonna come and shout at me. Spoiler alert, someone did come and shout at us. So anyway, we were walking along, having a merry old time, and we got to this one bit of the footpath, and we double checked it on the map, and it was like, no, it definitely goes through this person's driveway. And that, to be fair, they had you know when people have those big wooden gates, and like it's a big like, don't come in, get off our land, you're not allowed here, but there was a little gate next to it for humans to go through, and we were like triple checked the map before we went through, and we were like, is this the right way? Anyway, we had a little look, we kind of like, especially as this was in the dark as well, all of our head torches were not that great. They had the amount of light that maybe like a candle lamp thing in the Victorian times, like it was not good. But one of my friends, who is a sheep farmer, she had a proper big old torch that was very powerful, so we used her torch most of the time. Her allocated job was our eyes. She was making sure that she was like looking out for all the gates and things, like when you're walking across the footpath, you're like, where are we going, is this the right way? There was actually a few times where we might have followed a sheep track or a deer track thinking it was the footpath, so we probably did go a little bit off track at times, because it was supposed to be 8 kilometers and we ended up doing 10 kilometers. So anyway, moving on. So anyway, yeah, we were at this person's gateway slash driveway, and we managed to see in the distance with my friend's big torch that there was a footpath sign. We're like, great, we're going the right way. We walked onto their land, obviously like a security light came on, everything. It felt very weird. Like it literally felt like I was trespassing, even though we weren't, it was all legal. There was a footpath. And my friend Lucy said to me, I think I saw someone. I don't know if it was a person, but it might have been a ghost or something. Like she obviously, like, I don't know, I'm not really like a very believing in ghosts kind of person, but she was saying to me, she was like joking around like, guys, I've just seen a ghost, I've just seen someone or something like that, because she didn't actually think it was a person. She just thought it was maybe a trick of the light when the security light went on. Anyway, there was there were the signposts for the footpath. You could either go straight ahead or to the left. And we were like, oh, it must be like straight ahead, walking along. And then we climbed over the stile, walked a little bit through this field. And then we were like, wait a second, we're going the wrong way. So luckily we hadn't actually got that far going that way. Maybe not even for like 5 minutes walking. It really wasn't that far. Anyway, so we turned around, went back, went along the other way that the footpath said to go, and we were like, lovely jubbly, we're on the right path, we're on the right way, back on track again. Also, that did throw some people off because it was kind of wet, it was dewy, lots of people, and also we're walking like through long grass. Lots of people actually said to us at that one signpost, at like that one person's house where it felt really weird, like you're walking on their land, did you guys all go straight ahead as well for a little bit? Because we just followed your footprints. And we didn't even think of that because obviously we were one of the first teams to head off. So there weren't really many footprints for us to follow. So anyway, we actually kind of baited people a bit there. We made them go the wrong way, which is quite funny. Anyway, we're on the right track. We were going. And my friend, the one that had the really good torch, was saying to me, oh my gosh, I did babysitting at this house once. I know where we are. And we were like, oh, brilliant. She was like, oh yeah, the footpath goes diagonally across this field rather than across the hedge line because the gate's like in the like corner. And I was like, oh great, we'll follow you then. So anyway, we were walking like across this field, and then this guy, this old man, comes running towards us, shouting at us. And at first we all thought he shouted dog or something, and we thought, oh, maybe like his dog's got out and like has seen us and wants to like come and say hi. So we all kind of like just stopped and froze, and then we like obviously turned around to look at him. We all had head torches on. He was like, put your torches down, you're blinding me. And we're all like, ah, this man's like shouting at us. Anyway, the reason why he was shouting at us, he was still quite far away, but we were all like pooing ourselves. We were like, oh my goodness, we're gonna get like axed or something. This is the start of a horror film. Like, this is at night, we're four girls on our own, this man is shouting at us. Like, he was quite scary looking. Anyway, he was shouting at us because apparently that day he'd plant loads of saplings in that field, and he didn't want us walking across it, even though that was the way the footpath went, because he was worried we were going to walk on these saplings. And he was like saying, can you walk across the like hedge line please? And we're like, okay, yep, yeah, sure, sorry. And then we just ran across the hedge line. We were like, we're going. So that obviously was the person slash ghost slash thing that my friend Lucy saw. So yeah, and then we were like, oh my gosh, he must have been standing out there and watching us the whole time when we went the wrong way and then came back again. We were like, oh my gosh, that's so creepy. So there we go. But as soon as like the man started shouting at us, my friend Lucy was like, we're part of the night hike, you should have been informed that we were walking through. We're really sorry, this is what we thought was the footpath. We're all just like, ah. So that was the first funny thing. And then we rang up the person that was like organizing the night hike and was like, at this farm we got shouted at, so maybe ring everyone up and tell them to not follow the footpath and follow the hedge line instead, because if not they'll get shouted at, because we were like one of the first teams to go through. So anyway, that happened. That was quite funny. Then the next, obviously there were lots of other things. It was actually really lovely at all the checkpoints. There was somebody basically waiting in a car, and some of them were sneaky because some of them you could see the car headlights on, and we were like, great, there they are, perfect. Some of them, they had their headlights off, so we were looking around like, goodness grief, where is this car? And then we accidentally walked up to this like random car parked on the side of the road. It was not for the night hike, it was just someone's car, so if they were looking out their windows they would have thought we were being very dodgy, like looking around at their car and stuff. But anyway, we got to the car. Some of them had like biscuits and chocolate that we could have as like a little break in between, and we also all had to have a mandatory 5-minute break at each stop point. But also, to be fair, we took that break because we were doing our coordinates, we were double checking them, all that kind of stuff, where the next checkup point was. And then we were on the homeward stretch, we were on our way home. It was great, it was fun. We might have gone off course a few times, but we managed to get ourselves back on track. It was all good, but we were all absolutely shattered. It was coming up to midnight. We had this one really, also this was a really hilly night hike as well. We were either walking up a hill or down a hill. So anyway, I thought, we need a bit of motivation. The last time would stretch going up this hill. So I thought I'd put some music on. And I was at the back at this stage because I stopped. Because I'm not very good at walking while being on my phone. I just know, knowing me, I'm quite clumsy, I'd probably trip over and fall on my face. Actually, nobody fell over, which is really good. I'd say that's a pro from our team, especially as I feel like we're a little bit on the clumsy side, especially in the mud and things. So I thought I'd stop for a little bit, let my friends walk ahead, put on a song. If you want to know what song I put on, it was the Rihanna song Shut Up and Drive, because I'm pretty sure that was on my like downloaded music on like one of my running playlists or my like upbeat playlist songs. Actually, it might have been on my Girl Boss playlist anyway, so I put that on. And if after this podcast you'll have to listen to the beginning of it, I'd love to play it, but I really don't want to get a copyright strike, because if not the podcast will basically get blocked in loads of different countries and a lot of you won't be able to see it. But anyway, so I play the beginning of that song, and I didn't realize the beginning of that song sounds a little bit like chainsaws, or a little bit like a swarm of bees. So anyway, that song full blast was on my phone, and as I turned it on, I thought, you know what, I'll have a little jog to catch up with my friends. Oh my goodness. Also, by the way, I like, before talking about my friends and things like that on the podcast, I always ask for their permission, and I said to my friend Lucy, can I please say this in the podcast, because it's too funny. And she was like, yeah, sure. So anyway, there was this weird sound, me running behind her. She was so scared. She screamed, she ran, she was freaking out. She was like, oh my gosh, Ez, I thought that there was like something coming to chase us, that weird sound, you were running behind me. And anyway, we found it so funny, and to be fair, that all gave us a bit of an adrenaline rush, a little bit of something to laugh about, that it powered us on for the last bit of the night hike. But oh my gosh, I wish you guys were there, because it was so funny. Like, to be fair, my other friends are a bit freaked out, but she was proper. It was just funny times. So yeah, even at the beginning of the night hike, me and my boyfriend were a little bit like, it's raining, it's wet, it's dark, it's coming up to our bedtime, do we really want to go on this? And I was like, no, because there'll be funny memories, it'll be fun, and you'll get to like tell everyone that you've won and all that kind of stuff, because you're super competitive. But I had a real lovely time. So if you ever get the chance to do a night hike, I'd recommend. It was good. Also, forget the, like, what's the thing that all the LA gym girlies love? It's called, like, I always get the numbers mixed up, but it's basically that this trend in 2023 where if you go to the gym, if you go on either the running machines, but just set it so it's like really high, so it's like you're walking up a hill and just like power walk, that's what all the girlies do. Well, that's what we were doing, but on actual hills. To be fair, even though it was dark, there was some nice scenery, there was quite a few fallen down trees that I had to climb over. My friends also made fun of me because they just either went like round the fallen down tree when I was like, no, I'm gonna climb over it, and made things a little bit more difficult for myself. But we had some good laughs, we had some good chats, it was a good time. But also afterwards, there was complimentary hot chocolate, there was hot dogs, there was snacks, biscuits, it was great. And it was nice just catching up with everyone afterwards and having a little chat. Anyway, my team did not win. We came, I think, fifth out of seven or eight teams, and one of the teams didn't even finish, so there we go. But we had a good time, we were just chatting away. We were also just saying, we were held up at quite a lot of spots for longer than 5 minutes because we were too close to other teams, so that's all I'm saying. But no, it was a very, very good time, and, you know, gave me a bit of exercise, bit of a chat with a friend. I feel like that's something that we all did a lot during, like, lockdown. You would go for, like, a walk with a friend, and now I feel like that's, like, a little bit more weird if you just said, like, oh, hey, do you want to go for a walk sometime? But actually, I love a good walk. I love a good little, you know, because you can have a little chat, see some scenery, catch up with a friend. I love it. All right, before I go on to me and my friend's new obsession, I never do this on the podcast, but I just thought I'd ask, maybe very kindly, please, if you are enjoying it, if you could rate it, like it, subscribe, all the whatever podcasty things that, it depends on what podcast provider you're on. But to be fair, if you've listened to me waddle on for what, about 20 minutes, I think I've been talking so far, maybe a little bit longer, maybe a little bit less, depends on how many cuts we need to make. To be fair, a lot of the time with the podcast, we don't really make many cuts. I just sort of waffle on. And even the like bits where I make mistakes or sometimes things go a little bit wrong, I do like to add them in because I feel like that's just more entertaining. It's kind of fun hearing like the behind the scenes and stuff like that. Anyway, so yeah, if you could do that, that would mean a lot to me. And thank you very much. Thank you for listening. listening. Also, it's coming up to the podcast's 1 year anniversary, and I'm pretty sure we managed to record me sending my friend a little voice message, because she's makes like cakes on the side. She's got like a little side hustle of making cakes and stuff. She's very, very talented. So I was asking her if we could make a podcast 1 year anniversary cake, because I feel like that would be really cute. I don't really have much of a like a anniversary kind of thing for my YouTube channel, because I feel like I made it, I posted one video and then didn't post anything for 6 months, and then kind of made videos that I never posted because I was too shy and awkward and didn't want to post it for the world, and then I just started posting for the world. So there we go. Especially as my phone ran out of storage, and I was like, you know what, if I put it to YouTube then it's safe, and then my friends and family can watch it and see what I'm up to with the horses. So there we go. On to my new kind of obsession that me and my friend have, that she's got me into. So I feel like this is something that if you have been on the internet in the last year, you will know what these are, especially if you're British. I feel like these things are very big in the UK. I feel like America, the thing that everyone wants to collect nowadays is Stanley Cups. Here in the UK, what everyone wants to collect are jelly cats, teddies, soft toys, plushies, whatever you want to call them. I say, like, we don't really say plushies in the UK. I'd say we say soft toys or teddies. We'd call them teddies even if they're not a bear. Like, it could be a teddy rabbit. Or, yeah, I'd say, like, yeah, cuddly toys. Anyway, so I feel like jelly cats, they have been around for years. Like, I know a lot of my friends, they're, like, I feel like everyone or most people either had, when they were younger, like an emotional support blanket or an emotional support teddy. My teddy that I had when I was little, I think there was like a trend ages ago, I think it was back in the pandemic times, and where everyone was like showing what their cuddly toy looks like now compared to a stock image of what it was like when it was brand new, and how like worn and old that they look now, especially if you're older like me, like you're in your 20s, like that thing is over 20 years old. So my cuddly toy, if you want to know, was, I still have her today, her name is Rabby. She is a rabbit. She's grey. She has a pink kind of like collar on her with white daisies on, so there we go. I managed to find, back in the day when that was a trend, a picture of what she looked like brand new, like stock image, and I can't find the picture anymore online, so I don't know if it's gone. So that was quite sad, because I tried to look it up the other day, because I don't know if she was a jelly cat, or if she, I think she was from M&S actually, maybe, I don't know, when I'm trying to remember from that stock image. But with all of my cuddly toys, I used to cut off the label that was like on their bum, because I was like, and then it doesn't look like a real rabbit. If I just snip it off, you know, it doesn't matter. So, yeah, that was Rabby. But anyway, the cuddly toy obsession in the UK has grown, because everyone wants a jelly cat nowadays, because, oh, a jelly cat is like a brand of cuddly toy, by the way, because they are really fun. You can get ones in the shape of apples, you can get ones in the shape of like all different things. Like, they've come out with a sports one as well, and I really embarrassed myself in front of my friend. Luckily she found it really funny. But you know the game badminton? I accidentally said, oh my gosh, look, they have a really cute little one in the shape of a, I said, cock shuttle, when it's actually called a shuttlecock. I got that the wrong way around, and she was wetting herself. She found it so funny. So anyway, we went shopping the other day, a little girly shop. We had actually a really cute day. We went and got sushi together. We went like walking around town, because the weekend before I spent like the whole week away in Germany working. So I didn't really have a weekend the week before. So I thought, you know what? Last week I was like, I'll take the Friday afternoon off. Me and my friend will go shopping together that Friday, because sometimes the weekends, like shops, it's just a little bit busy, especially if you go shopping on a Sunday as well. I always feel bad for all the people working on like a Sunday, especially as like the shops also close a little bit earlier. Definitely in the UK, like some shops, they're only open for like a few hours if they are open on a Sunday. So I was like, Friday afternoon, perfect. We'll have a little girly little shopping trip. That'll be really fun. So anyway, we went in, we literally probably look like such children. We went into a toy shop to look at the jelly cats. So look through there, and then we're like, we'll have a think, we'll come back. And then we found this another shop, phone off on set please. I'll keep that in just because it's funny. But anyway, we then went to found this other shop on the way back from getting our sushi, and we were like, oh my goodness, they had even more than the toy shop. And it was like one of those cute little shops where I'd call them like a gift shop. It was a little independent shop as well, so we were like, we'll support the independent shop, not this like random chain toy shop. And they do like everything, like they do like little earrings, they do, I don't know, just things that you would get as gifts, so like the kind of normal stuff like water bottles. They probably had those, not bean bags, but little bags full of lavender that you can put in like your sock drawer to smell nice, scented candles, re-diffusers, cushions, blankets, you know, that kind of shop. So we went in there and they had, when I tell you, a whole wall of jelly cats. They had all the different types, they had all the different animals, everything. We were looking around and we're like, okay, we'll get one because I've got a car. Well, I mean, I've got, I don't know. That did not sound, that was not how I meant to come out. I have a new car and she has a jelly cat in her car. And I was like, oh my gosh, I should get a jelly cat to go in my car. So then when I'm driving around, keep me company. So also keep my car company. My car has got a name. Yes, I am that person. I don't know why I just like to name my cars. My cars so far have been called Frida, Ivy, and then my new one is called Digby. I feel like with car names, you can't just call it like a normal name, like Harry. That's, you know, I know too many Harrys. I know a lot of Harrys. Why don't you call your car name a name that's everybody kind of like knows, like it's a human name or an animal name, but you don't really know anyone called that. Like, I don't know anyone called Frida. I don't know anyone called Ivy. And I don't know anyone called Digby. I definitely don't know anyone called Digby. I feel like that's a really strange name, but I feel like cars, you've got to, if your name is Digby, I'm really sorry. Actually, to be fair, Ivy is a very pretty name. I do quite like that. I like plant names. Like, I love Willow's name. Part of me like thinks maybe like if I had a little girl one day, calling her Willow would be so cute. Or maybe like a middle name. I don't know. Anyway, moving on. But yeah, Frida I thought was kind of fun. A little bit different. I feel like in the UK we don't, Frida's not a very common name. So yeah, like I guess like names from different countries, that could be quite a cool name for a car. But anyway, I don't know any Digbys. Actually, I think there was a sausage dog online called Digby, or someone had a sausage dog called Digby, and I just thought that is a cool ass cute name for a little sausage dog. So my new car is called Digby, that is his name. And my friend was like, oh yeah, we should get a little jet, just a little one, because they are, I can't lie, they are quite expensive, especially the big ones. Oh my goodness, I'm trying to save money at the moment. So anyway, we're looking around, looking at all of them, and the one that I really liked, the white dragon. I thought that was really cool and really cute, because I don't know why, it just made me think of Mickey. My friend really liked the pig one. There was like a little dog one as well that was cute, and we're like looking through them all the foods. There was one of like a porridge bowl with little blueberries on, that was also very cute. Anyway, she was about to buy her jelly cat, she was like, oh my gosh, Ez, look what I have found. They had a little dinosaur one, which is like a new one. I think it's called a Brontosaurus or Bronchiosaurus. It was like a little green dinosaur, the one without the spikes. The spikes is a Stegosaurus, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, we were like, oh my gosh, that is adorable. But they only had one. So we went up, we asked, do you have a second one of these? Because we were like, we should get matching ones. And I was like, no, you spotted it. If you want it, you have it. I won't get it. You get that one. You spotted it. And she was like, okay. But if there's a second one, you'll get a matching one, won't you? And I was like, okay, go on then. So anyway, they came down and they had six round the back. So I got to pick which one I thought was the cutest. So I picked the like fluffiest one. So we now have matching dinosaurs. My dinosaur is called Delilah. So Delilah and Digby are now friends. And I feel like this is the most sad thing, but we were in the shop and there were other women in like their 20s, 30s. Actually, I think this lady was in her 30s that we ended up talking to, because I was like, oh, they're gonna look so cute in our car. And she was like, I have a collection of jelly cats in my car as well. And then the lady that was serving us at the till, she was also like in her 20s, and she was like, I have a jelly cat in my car as well. And she was like, I'm gonna buy the coffee bean at the end of my shift. And we were like, oh my gosh. Anyway, it was fun. It was a fun like girly day. So yeah, I thought I would tell you about my little dinosaur that actually fits perfectly the way like my car is. There's like a I don't want to call it like a glove box, but there's like a little gap above the glove box, so that's where my dinosaur chill. So it's not like on the dash or anything. That was one thing that I was worried about. I was like, I don't want it to go anywhere where it's going to obstruct my view, or like the police are going to tell me off or anything like that. So anyway, that is my new obsession, little jelly cats, because they are very cute, but they are expensive. But anyway, that I just thought I'd tell you that because it was a funny story. It was just like how literally everyone in the shop was all like, oh my gosh, I've got one of my car too. So there we go. Anyway, I think we're going to finish off today's podcast episode here. I hope you enjoyed it. Please, if you do go on a night hike, make sure that you try and go the right way like we did. And yeah, enjoy. Hope you all have a lovely week or a lovely weekend. And I will see you all next time. Thanks for listening. Bye. Thanks for a post for sponsoring. Bye. So I was wondering if This Esme Limited could commission you to make a cake for the 1 year anniversary of the podcast, please. I don't really know what to involve. The kind of colours for the podcast is like a sage green and a baby pink. So maybe like something with headphones or a mic, or it's called Esme's Country Life, so maybe something like country as well could be cute. But yeah, let me know if you'd be interested in that. The anniversary for the podcast for 1 year is the 16th of March. So it's a little while away. It's like a month away. But yeah, let me know if you'd be interested in that, because I thought that could be fun.